welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. We have a very special guest with us today, and we are so excited to bring you this bonus episode to talk to a current contestant on the show who has done so well this season. You may know her as the executive chef and partner at Highly Likely, a cafe in Los Angeles known for globally inspired comfort food. She is originally from Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, which we will get into. She actually studied theater. She's lived a million lives, as we learned on the show. She's a career pivoter into being a chef, and she is an inspiration to us all. Please welcome to the pod, Kat Turner.
Hi, everybody.
We're so excited to have you.
We're so excited you're here. This is like a rare opportunity to talk to somebody who's like still currently competing. So very fun indeed.
Yes, reigning champ of Last Chance Kitchen.
Booyah.
I won one challenge so far, at least.
Oh, still counts.
I was feeling like a bit of a bridesmaid, so that was a good one.
Well, okay, so this might be a stupid question, so please be like, what the hell? But as you are from Wisconsin, in particular Door County, Wisconsin, we had to ask if you had ever been to a fish boil put on by our favorite celeb sighting from last season, Torch.
I don't know that I have personally been to a it's been a long time since I've been to a fish boil.
Yeah.
So I think probably not, but he is like a local, like people know him locally. So
okay.
You know, we know that. Of him. I don't go to fish boils all that much. I'm more of a fish fry kind of girl.
Amen, sister. True.
But my
that.
Sister did have a fish boil at her wedding.
Oh,
where they really lit cool. it up and it was like, mm-hmm. wow.
At our house.
Oh my God. That's brave. Oh yeah. My God.
Incredible. Well, we are here to talk about you and your time on the show with a little shout out to Torch. We love you. We've never met you. But we would love to hear because, you know, we've been with you for a few episodes and we've learned that you have an incredibly cool history, but I feel like we haven't gotten the full story. We've just gotten it in little tidbits. So we'd love to give you a moment to talk about really how you got to where you are today and how you became a chef.
Sure. I always loved cooking. I grew up in a family where my mother cooked. She was an excellent cook. Grew up with a lot of cookbooks, specifically this Time Life collection that was a incredible collection of cookbooks from all over the world. And it had, you know, like James Beard was, you know, wrote one of the cookbooks. Like it was really like they had some of the best authors and photographers and people that went and documented the series. So I grew up reading these books as well as other books from, you know, global cuisines. So I kind of started traveling through food at a very young age and becoming very interested in learning about that. In Wisconsin, we don't really have a lot of like amazing regional cuisine in the way that you have in other parts of the country. It's a lot of comfort food, as I'm sure you learned from last season. Supper clubs are kind of the, you know, hot cuisine of Wisconsin. But I kind of took a turn. Instead of going into culinary, I went into theater and fine art, and that's what I went to college for. And so when I first moved to LA, I was studying art and I was acting and, you know, I was in music videos and I was in, you know, some films. I worked with David Lynch. I was killed by Natasha Lyonne in a horror film.
Okay.
I did all this like fun stuff. I was a go-go dancer. That was my night job while I was going to art school. I was a burlesque performer. I sold lingerie at Agent Provocateur. Like it was a crazy, really fun, like, grab Hollywood by the balls kind of like uh-huh. Those were my 20s. So in 2008, when the writer's strike happened, all the acting stopped, you know, the production stopped. There was a financial crisis. I was helping a friend open a vegan restaurant at the time because I love cooking and I was helping her out and I fell in love with it. And I left LA and I moved to New York to go to culinary school. I went to the Natural Gourmet Institute. It was a short program, super jam-packed. I worked at Blue Hill for 4 months for free. back when you could still do that.
Back when that was
and then I came back to LA and I became a private chef. And that's when I started working for Smashing Pumpkins, which I did for 2.5 years. And then what they don't talk about on the show, which I can't really elaborate on. But I did then go and work for like a major A-list actor and traveled all over the world with that person. And that was a very intense, very amazing job working for like the best of the best. And then I met my business partners. I had started working for a events company in Utah, working on top of a mountain. Met my business partner, who asked if I wanted to move back to LA and open a restaurant there. And I said, no. And he said, why? And I said, because I've been a private chef. I don't know how to run a restaurant. And he had opened like 10 restaurants. And he said, you know what? You're really smart. If you can make food for 200 people in a yurt on top of a mountain, you can figure out how to run a restaurant in LA. And that was how Highly Likely was born. And now we're like, you know, almost 7 years in.
Wow. Oh,
that's absolutely
you are inspiration to all of us who like are either perhaps not satisfied or a little confused or don't know where it all leads to. You are an inspiration.
Say yes to the things that scare you.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I feel like the experience being a private chef too, like you have to have some, there has to be something very unique in terms of your approach to even what we see of you on Top Chef compared to maybe some of your other fellow contestants who came up through the restaurant scene or have only exclusively worked in a restaurant capacity. Like, is there something that jumps out to you as really beneficial of from that private chef experience working for those maybe super particular or super challenging clients?
I think one of the things that was a big asset to me is that especially when I was working with the actor, we would be in a different kitchen every day. Like if we were on a press tour, we did, you know, 7 cities in, you know, I think like 5 countries in like on 3 continents in 2 weeks. Like it was like a crazy, we would be in like boom, boom, boom. And I would go to a hotel and be like, okay, I walk into the Ritz-Carlton kitchen in Moscow, you know, and then I'd be in Dublin and then I'd be in Taipei and then I'd be in Seoul and then Tokyo. And like, it was different countries where you don't speak the language and you're like, show me the equipment, show me the ingredients. And, you know, food becomes this kind of universal language. So you learn really how to speak it and to be able to do it in almost any environment.
It's wild. Is there a kitchen that stands out to you, or is there after a while it's like, oh my god, it's all the same?
The kitchens are really all the same. You know, an industrial commercial kitchen, one is mostly like the other. It kind of depends on how much like room you have. When I cooked at the Ritz-Carlton in Roppongi in Tokyo, they gave me a workstation that was this big, but the kitchen was tiny. You know. So everything was very like super compact. So just like limitations like that, or like Morocco. I mean, cooking in Morocco, man, we cooked out, you know, I mean, a kitchen where I'm like, I don't know if this is totally like safe to cook in. Like the equipment was a little shoddy. It was in like a beach town, like a hotel on the beach. Yeah. And you're like, this feels a little like, ooh.
I feel like we've seen some funny kitchen setups on Top Chef. And so you would definitely be very well primed to work in a bunch of weird conditions.
Our favorites are the boat ones when people get on boats and they're like, oh, shit. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I've cooked on a jet. Like, I've cooked all over the place.
Wow. Well, as someone with such a varied background, like, some of our favorite people on Top Chef have been some of these, like, career pivoters or people who have experience in a lot of different aspects before they join the show. And one of yours, you said, is like as a trained performer. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you've done a lot of live performance art. And so I'm curious, how much of that did you bring into your TV persona? And was that something going through your head when you were on the show?
You know, when I was acting, I was often cast in roles that were very similar to, you know, who I am. Mm-hmm. I think I have a strong personality and a pretty strong look. So I think people like looked to cast me to kind of fit like, oh, you're like the punk girl or you're the goth girl or, you know. And all along, I always loved performance, but I always just wanted to be myself. Like, that's what I yearned for. Like, mm-hmm. I'm totally comfortable being myself. I'm happy putting myself forward. So I've really been able to thrive in that environment. So as far as like putting a character forward or anything like that, like what you see is really truly me. And that was very, it's a relief to be able to be that. And also nerve-wracking because every single day that you get interviewed, they're asking you who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, it kind of became this like, oh my God, like a existential crisis. Like, who am I? So every time they'd interview me, I'd be like, who am I? You know, right. And it kind of like became this very intense therapeutic, like you kind of have this like amazing kind of therapeutic relationship with the story producers on Top Chef because they're drawing a lot out of you. It's very intense.
And you probably don't have a ton of occasion to do this sort of interest, like self-introspection in your normal life because you're existing and working. And I'm curious, what has surprised you about yourself on the show? Either the experience or something you've learned about yourself through that introspection or just through pushing yourself into different corners and challenges?
Yeah, I think every time I was nervous, you know, I get nervous, I get anxious, and every time I finish a project, there comes this like deep well of like new strength. And I really loved that element of Top Chef. Like the challenging quality of it was just so, you know, you come out of it a different person.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that was going to feel like. But now that I do, I'm like, wow, that's like really incredible. Like I would totally do it again differently in some regards. But yeah. And then also, I mean, my ability to connect with other people. It's amazing when you take your phone away and you take your computer away and you take the TV away and you can't Google stuff. You can't be like, oh, let me show you this picture. Like, who is that actor in that thing? Oh, let me just Google it. Like, that's gone.
Oh, that would
that's
go
gone.
Away. Yeah.
It's like you, it's you and the other chefs and your notebook.
That's an incredible point too, because I think, you know, we recap some of the older seasons and it wouldn't have even been as it's a colossal thing to leave your family and your friends and, you know, put yourself in sort of this like isolation chamber. But today in the year 2025, I couldn't go 30 minutes without a phone to do exactly that. I like need to know what this actor is from.
totally.
That might be harder than the cooking. And I say that as a non-chef.
It changed my life. Like Top Chef in non-culinary ways. I started reading books again. I read 6 whole ass books, like big
wow.
books.
Oh my gosh.
While I was gone. I stopped sleeping with my phone in my room. Like I plugged my phone in my kitchen and I got myself an alarm clock. Like no phone in the room, like wow. no computer unless it's like a treat night. I'm like watching White Lotus in bed. But other than that, like no devices in my room because the whole time I was gone, I was able to go to sleep and wake up with like no cell phone next to my bed.
Ugh. Digital detox, Top Chef.
Digital detox. It was unbelievable. I was like, I could do this for another like 3 months. Like, keep my phone. Like, they gave it back to me at the end, and I'm like,
it's like not to make a White Lotus reference, but it's like the rat lips. It's just like they don't want it.
Totally. I mean, they really didn't want it. I actually finished.
Yeah, they were coming back to a world of hurt.
I finished the season last night.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Yeah. We will talk about that in a minute.
Really.
But we do have some Top Chef things to cover off on.
Just get through the Top Chef so we can get to one.
Yeah. For Lachlan, though.
Yeah, Lachlan. Well, so, yes, on to Top Chef because, you know, we've danced around it. We've talked a little bit about it. But, you know, going on to the show, first, how did you get to the show or how did the show come to you?
Mm-hmm.
And then how did you prepare to go on?
The show came to me and I was, again, nervous. If something like terrifies me, but excites me a little bit, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to do this. Mm. Like you got to like work through the fear and like mm-hmm. just get there because you'll never regret anything more than the thing you didn't do. Right.
Yeah.
So I said, yes, I applied. I made it through on the first try, which,
wow.
you know, it was pretty remarkable. And to prepare, I watched Top Chef. I watched Last Chance Kitchen. I practice things that maybe aren't totally in my wheelhouse. Here's the thing that I'm really upset that I didn't practice, that I thought about practicing, was a patty. My friend Rashida is an amazing chef in LA. She has a place called Bridgetown. She's known for her patties. And I was like, there's a lot of Caribbean food in Toronto. I should probably have Rashida show me how to do a patty, and I didn't.
Damn.
But my scale was also broken on that challenge. That's another thing that they edited out. I weighed out all my flour, and then I started weighing in like my fat and my liquid, and the ratio is totally off. So I spent the whole time trying to correct it, and I'm like, I'm fucked.
Oh,
anyway.
No.
But yeah, I just prepare. I tried, you know, I got a doer of liquid nitrogen, and worked some recipes at my house, I was like, I wonder if I can use this as a shortcut. I wonder if I can do that. You know, just kind of trying to get a bit of a bag of tricks.
Absolutely.
Are there other things that come in, and maybe this is okay, we're still watching the show unfold, so if you can't answer this, that's totally fine. But what comes to mind is things that you would, you know, you do Top Chef again in a heartbeat, you do some things differently. What comes to mind?
I think keeping things simple, keeping things a little bit more simple, a little bit more streamlined. You know, it's hard to predict when things are going to go sideways, but trusting my instincts more, if we want to talk about this last episode with the double elimination, something that was really interesting was that you know, when you're at the judges table, you're hearing so much more than what they put in the final edit. And at one point, Tom said, why didn't you cook the cod ahead of time and just fold it in? Why put it in raw? Because it weeped moisture into our mix. And watching it back, I say, and that they took that out of the, you know, judges table.
Right.
But at Whole Foods, I looked at Coro and I'm like, I think we should get the cod, cook it, flake it, and add it to the, and I literally said it and I completely forgot that I had said it.
Oh.
And I was
damn.
Like, shit, I knew what to do and we didn't do it, or I didn't push for it, or you know, you only have 90 minutes to prep. And I'm like, Corwin, you do the fish and I'll do the hot sauce and the, you know what I mean? But it was that moment of I have to trust my instincts.
Yeah. But there's so many balls in the air too. And you're so just many. You don't know what thread is worth pulling on. And it just,
truly.
It makes a ton of sense though.
You know, we trust each other. That's the thing. We're all super capable chefs. And when you're in the room with that many people that are so fucking high caliber, you're like, you got this, I got this. Let's go. Whatever you're doing, I trust that you know the best way to do it.
Yeah, this season is particularly low on the sort of peer micromanaging. I feel like a lot of earlier Top Chef seasons, you get a lot of crazy personalities who are do it this way. And this season is very that. It's very, I trust you to get your shit done. And
I think it's because this cool season is stacked.
Yeah,
you know,
this is a stacked
and something
season,
that we continue
crazy.
To comment on is that in addition to all of you being really talented, it's a high caliber cast. You all seem to really get along, and maybe it's because you didn't have phones and you just were playing Monopoly. We hear Monopoly Deal happens a lot behind the scenes.
A lot of Uno, a lot of Monopoly.
But can you talk a little bit about what it's like, the filming experience of being in this cohort of people, and the nature of your relationship with the other chefs?
Yeah, I love all the other chefs. I love them. They're great. Even Massimo.
Massimo, if you're listening, even you're great.
There's something – the casting team did an incredible job because we each were able to connect with each other on some different thing. You know, Massimo, we like the same music and we're into the same art and, you know, Tristan is so incredible. He knows so much about everything. He's been all over the world. He's literally this incredible treasure trove of information. And Vinny is hilarious. And Bailey came back and she's so funny. If you want to laugh, low key, Bailey's so funny to stand next
she
to.
She was great when we spoke to her.
Any challenge. She's so, 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 so funny. Everybody's amazing. Everybody's Shwai and Zubair and there's so much heart and so much integrity, and everybody came to the game with such an open, like to be open to the experience, mm-hmm. and to be open to know one another. Like, that's another thing. It didn't feel like anybody was, you know, cagey or like, you know, like I'm here to win, you know, wasn't there. Everybody was like, we're all here to win. We're all going to make sure that we're all cooking the best food that we can cook.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That it's funny. We talked a little bit about that this past recap episode because we like to talk about, okay, the pairing. What about this pairing? What about that pairing? There was not a bad pairing, nor would there have been a bad pairing that we didn't see. Like you could have configured that group and your group in any way, and you would have had an incredibly interesting but harmonious outcome, which mm-hmm. is saying a yes. lot.
That's true.
Well, I mean, thinking about your time on the show thus far, you're still in Last Chance Kitchen, as far as we know. How has it shaped the way you think about your time post-show and your career? And what are your biggest takeaways from the experience?
Post-show, I mean, you know, I am running two restaurants. I'm opening a third. I came back from Top Chef. I took literally one day off. I got home God. I went right back to work. And that's really like, that's really where my head is most of the time. It's a great experience to use to help promote my restaurant and everything that I'm doing. And I'm getting, you know, just so much awesome exposure from this. So it's like, I'm trying to kind of like ride the wave of it, but also like get my third restaurant open mm-hmm. and, you know, work on the fourth. And, you know, so it is this kind of like trying to weave it all together. At the end of the day, I love performance. I love it. It's at my core. You know, I always want to do more. I always like putting myself out there. I think it's a fun way to, you know, I think it's fun to be the face of a restaurant, you know, to grow my own brand as a person. So having the opportunity to do Top Chef, like, you know, is the best version of that.
That's totally incredible.
So more to come.
More to come. Is there, do you have like a fourth or fifth career pivot planned? Like, are we going to see you as like an astronaut in 20 years? You can do it if anybody can.
I'm going to the moon. I you know, before we opened Highly Likely, I was shopping a food docuseries, which, you know, I had tons of meetings and, you know, was almost in contract to do it. And I had pitched myself with the tagline, if Anthony Bourdain and Martha Stewart had hooked up back in 1977, I'd be you know, so it is this idea of like, who's doing this? Who's telling the stories? Who's taking you around the world? Who's also like, you know, showing you how to bring it home? And so I do kind of feel like I've got this next career, probably in media, hopefully, mm-hmm. that kind of combines everything that I love.
Incredible. Well, we're excited to watch it happen. Thank you so much, Kat, for the time today. It was so nice getting to know you a bit more. Is there anything before we leave that you want to shout out, let the people know you've got going on, maybe a little more on the third restaurant?
Sure. So in a few short weeks, we are opening our third Highly Likely in Ojai, which beautiful. If you're not familiar with Ojai, it's basically upstate LA. It's beautiful. Beautiful mountain town. So that'll be our third location. And then we've got a fourth location in the works in LA coming in 2026. Wow. So yeah, we've got a lot on our plate. And that's really, you know, even after the show ends, like the show goes on there, and come see me and come eat my food 7 days a week, you know, morning till night. We've got it all.
Love it. Delicious. We definitely will. This has been awesome. We're going to continue to cheer for you from the sidelines as long as we see you grace our screens. And then I'm sure in some other form or capacity, you'll
yes, when you become the next Anthony Bourdain, we'll say we knew you when and that you came on our silly little podcast.
I actually partied with him one night in New York, really.
Oh, okay, that's very – can we get that story quickly before we go?
I went to go see the Kills play in Brooklyn. Okay. And my friend was playing in the band, and he is also friends with the guys from Queens of the Stone Age. And so we're like sitting in the VIP section, and I look down before the show starts, and I see some people walking in, and I see the, you know, couple of the guys from Queens, and Anthony Bourdain's with them. Oh, and I'm like freaking out. And I had a meeting with 0.0, his production company for my show, like a couple weeks before. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He's like walking in. And I'm like, he's walking up here. Oh my God. He's literally sitting like right behind me. And so they watched the show, and we all like went to this bar in the East Village afterwards and like stayed there till like 3 a.m. and just like drank and talked. And, you know, it was a real New York night.
Wow.
Classic New York.
Real rock and roll.
That is so cool. Very,
he's just so cool.
That is a level of rock and roll that Nancy and I will never attain. Yeah. And probably can't even aspire to, but like living vicariously.
What, I mean, that is definitely the band, so
that's true.
Got a lot
that
of
is definitely the coolest sign off anyone has ever given on our show. There is no topping that.
Thank you
so much, Kat, for joining us. We are so excited to see your journey, as Bit said. And to everyone listening at home, follow Kat on Instagram, follow her wherever she goes, and thanks for listening to Compliments to the Chef.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.